good Sunday, everybody. This is Nima Vedati of the Freedom Fiends. We've also got Michael W. Dean out in Airworm One today. Actually, Michael, where are you broadcasting from? I'm here in Central Texas. I hear it. I hear the fan on that dirigible. How's it going, sir?
I'm good. I'm broadcasting from Flyoming Company Blimp. Airworm One flying over Recluse, Wyoming, population 14. Now that Representative Sue Wallace, the Ron Paul of Wyoming, was died of mysterious circumstances.
14 is a little crowded for a town called Recluse.
It really
is.
Need to
do some cleansing.
Depends how big it is, though, too. Some cleansing. Okay, add off. Man.
Well, I just mean, push the people out. I'm kidding.
Okay, Obama and his secret plan to murder 10% of the world's population. No, it's 90.
Yeah. Or isn't it 90? Every politician ever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so where do we want to start? Do we want to start with my announcement?
Let's start with a joke or something.
Start with a joke?
Yeah, okay. Before we bum everyone out. I don't know. Without talking about cat sex changes, I don't think I can.
Yeah, I'm just on a tear bumming everybody out this week.
You are. All right, go for it.
Okay. So
I got to say, I've been pimping all week on the nighttime show. Special announcement from Nima Vedati on Sunday. So here is your special announcement from Nima Vedati.
Yeah, with no warm-up. Freedom Fiends, these past 3 years have been amazing. I love you all. I think the fight for liberty has definitely progressed.
Is there anybody who doubts where that sentence is going to go by now?
No, but I have to finish anyway.
I know. I like it. Everybody picture him like a politician up there with his wife and his kids all, and his preacher.
I've been spending time with my pastor.
And his pastor. Go ahead. I want to
talked it out, my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. No, so... Basically, I think that the fight for me, for liberty right now, has taken a different post that I need to take up. I need to fall back to a different position. I'm taking too much resources to keep holding the position I'm holding here at Freedom Fiends. So I'm going to fall back. I feel like it's all about creating people who are peaceful and understand the non-aggression principle and creating that sense in people and helping them along the way. That's sort of what my work here at the Freedom Fiends has always been about is being patient with people and letting them know about the first principles and how to argue from first principles and laughing at the people who disregard that or don't get it or don't understand it and still try to claim the moral high ground and want to tell you how to live your life, people like politicians and the punditocracy. And we're sort of a counterbalance to that. But now that I've got a little girl, a beautiful little girl, who we are focusing all of our energy. You know, my wife is planning on staying home exclusively with the kids. We want to homeschool the kids. So her whole focus has been the kid. And that doesn't mean that I get to go off and do whatever I want either. As soon as I get home from a 10-hour day at work, I spend the next 4 hours being with Lily, making sure she's got everything she needs, helping my wife, taking some of that burden off of her hands. And then as soon as she goes to bed, I focus on all of my DJ work, which I work for two companies and a lot of clients and do gigs every weekend. So literally from dawn till dusk, past dusk, obviously, until the next day, I'm grinding. And I want to make sure that that Lily has everything she needs in this life as far as from me. And that's not just finances. That's time with her daddy and time with her mama. And we're already seeing the benefits of parenting like this. People roll their eyes, but it's totally true. She's bright-eyed. She looks at us. She laughs. She knows her daddy. And she... she's actually pottying at 4 months. We put her on the potty and she goes. She knows what she's doing. I mean, obviously she can't really hold it all the time and she can't get to the potty herself. But you can tell she's going to be a bright one. She's going to be principled and she's going to be a great person. And I feel like right now life for me is all about building this family. Maybe one day I'll come back with a little more wisdom, a little less naivete, a little more truth, hope, and all of that good stuff to share with the world. And I'm not saying I'm retiring from Liberty Media completely. When I retired from mainstream media, I was serious. And now that I'm looking for new employment at other places too, I see those jobs sometime, and I'm almost tempted to say, well, maybe I could just go work for a little bit at a TV station. I could probably get this job, but no, I can't see myself doing it because I can't see myself being a stooge for the status quo anymore, especially after seeing everybody lie all the time about the Russian crisis these days. I just can't be a part of that anymore. I still love Liberty, though, and I still love Liberty Media. Maybe every now and then I'll put something out on my own or just post something on the blog. I think I'm going to be a little effing. I'll always be a little effing because I'll always be a fan and a supporter. But I'm no longer Nima Vedati, capital F, Freedom Fiend, regular weekend co-host, Michael. And Michael, I know you're going to have to do a lot of work, but you're excited. The Fiends are not going anywhere. They'll still be around. I think it's a measure of success that I can just walk away. Well, I guess I'm not just walking away. I'm not throwing the mic down and saying, you do this, you know. But I think it's going to make me really proud. If the Fiends are huge in a year, I won't be bitter. I'll be proud. I'll be like, yeah, man, I helped with that. I helped with that, and I love to see the success, and I love to see the success of the message, and I think that that's going to continue, especially in the hands of somebody as amazing as you, Michael.
Wow. Thanks, man. I am sad to see you go. And the Fiends, the Fiend fan, the small F Fiends, are – as soon as the show started and you started talking, before you said what you were going to say, or it was when I said Nima has an announcement, Voluntarius Ross posted on Twitter, and it immediately got reshared by Daniel Barone, about to listen or listening to Freedom Fiends live on LRN.fm. What do you think the big announcement will be today? Is Nima retiring? Maybe that should be a hashtag, Nima retires.
You put my jersey up on the Freedom Fiends on Air Wyoming Blimp. Yeah, posted on the side there.
Retire your number.
Retire my number. What is my number?
Well, it's two because I do more of the work. So I'm Fiend one. You're Fiend two. And anybody else will have to be Fiend three or later from now on.
Yeah. Is it I guess it's a retirement. I guess when Michael Jordan left the Bulls, it was a retirement. So it's a retirement in the sense that I'm retiring from the Fiends. But I still want to interact with the Liberty community. I mean, I won't be at a regular post on a talk radio show.
No, we shun you. No one should talk to me ever. I'm kidding, man. I'm totally kidding. I'm not going to scrub your name from the internet like Jeremy did with me when I left the Free Speech Me Project. You know, you're still going to be listed on the Fiend site as co-founder. You're still going to have a Fiend blogger account and et cetera, et cetera.
And hey, I'm open to occasional projects. I just can't do a regular weekend, have to be there at this time, no matter what kind of thing. But once I get a little bit more on my feet, which I'm looking into some good options right now to sort of get on a better footing and work a little bit less and make some more money, you know, maybe in a few months I'll be able to say, hey, I'd like to do this or that project. Maybe it'll be a few years. I don't know. But I don't want people to just say, oh, well, Nima's left. He's never going to talk to us again. And I don't think they will.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of the problem is being the same place at the same time all the time when you have three jobs where you already have to be at the same place at the same time all the time. And, you know, I mean, they do say that's old media and, you know, Thursday night at 6 p.m. is dead with TV, with things like Netflix producing, releasing whole seasons of great shows one at a time. But I still think that there's a magic to live, not just that you can take calls from people, but I really feel like there's a collective, not collectivist, but like a collective magic to knowing that thousands of people are listening to the same thing that you're listening to at the same moment.
I think it's also a cool production value, even because I never listen to anything or watch anything live, but I like to listen to the recordings of live broadcasts and live performances, and I like to see how people react to problems, and I like to know that in the moment that person's live and it hasn't been chopped up, and okay, I messed that paragraph up. Let me pause the recording and go over this 20 times before I press record again.
Except I'll admit a little secret about the Fiends here is I do a tiny bit of editing, removing that stuff anyway for the archives. I go,
but nowhere I have a, near like when we first started.
I have talked to my pastor. Yeah, when we first started, I spent 8 hours editing each thing. Like I edited out every breath and every like, you know, where I'd
and
say.
I helped out a couple times, and I was like, man, I don't know why we do.
Yeah,
it took me 4 hours to do half of a Fiend show. I guess you had to go shopping or something. You had to do something, and I was like, well, I'll help out. And it was painstaking, man. It was fun. It was challenging, and I think it made me a better editor.
Exactly.
I'm sure it's made you a better editor. But eventually, because at first you didn't want it. You were scared of doing a live show.
Ian
said, you know, it'd really be great if you guys did live
said no.
for LRN.
I said no
you
at
said
first.
No, and you had your foot in the ground. I'm never going to do that. And then one day
I
like,
also thought I could not cuss, you know. And
that's right. That's right.
And
I told you it was going to be easier than you think.
Yeah,
and I've never
dropped one on the air. And the only time I've ever hit the cuss stump was when we had the guy from Death Clock on, and he didn't know it was radio.
Yes.
He thought it was internet radio because
that's right.
most of what he does, because no radio show would ever ask to interview him, basically, except us.
Right.
You know, he does podcast interviews day and night when he has a new project coming out.
Well,
so
I've been listening to a lot of satellite radio lately. It came free with my new car.
Wow.
For like 3 months. And, it blew my mind when I heard them say dropping MFs and Fs and
because it does sound like radio, like it has a show clock, right? Does it have as many ads?
You know, I don't think I've heard an ad on the morning talk shows. You know, I haven't listened to talk on XM, but Sway has Sway in the Morning on Eminem's station, Shade 4 or 5, and it's like a morning Zoo Crew talk show with Shade or Sway
with rappers.
And instead of doing cutting to break for commercials, they cut to break for a song. It's like, whoa,
song? Yeah, I remember the first time I heard satellite. Well, I don't want to do a big pitch for how great satellite radio is while we're on terrestrial radio. So I'll just let's go back to our shows and our stuff. Yeah, it's tough doing live radio, but I really love it now. I've gotten really addicted to it. And you know, training 10 other people to do it has been a lot of fun, too. So the plan is... the nighttime show, Michael Dean, the Freedom Fiends is going to continue on the weekends, and the nighttime show, Michael Dean After Dark, in a month or two, is going to turn into the Freedom Fiends.
See, that's the huge good news, too.
Yeah.
Is that's literally Fiends 7 days a week.
Fiend sourcing, yeah. Yeah, and we'll talk when, you know, I don't want to start a big rant here right before we go to the break, but when
because you're good at radio now.
Yeah, because so when we come back... Although I'm saying it a little early. There we go. Yeah. And when I come back, I'll have my rebuttal to my colleague, to the representative from the great state of Texas, Mr. Nima Vidani. I will have my rebuttal. But, rebuttal.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back, just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for some summer fun in Wyoming? A camping weekend with liberty-minded folks for a barbecue, tubing on a river, a live band, and some quality trigger time? Then join us in Guernsey from May 29th to June 1st for the 2014 Free State Wyoming Jamboree. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, Free State Wyoming encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the Cowboy State. Bring your family to the Free State Wyoming Jamboree. For more details, visit freestatewyoming.org.
I'm busy, Michael. You do a radio show. If you want a radio show so bad, why don't you do it?
I built that. So talk about LibPair.
LibPair is here. See, now that LibPair is here, I can quietly go and spend time with my family.
Libertarian Paradise, yes.
Yes, which we've been talking about almost since Within the first three or four,
we talked about, well, in Libertarian Paradise, things would work like this. And
that's
sick of saying Libertarian Paradise, so I did some newspeak, 1984 speak,
right.
And turned it into Libpair, L-I-B.
Almost commie sounding, P-A-R. But in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way.
Somebody
named Commentel or whatever.
This guy named Andy, here's my memory of how this happened. Andy may say, what are you talking about? I made this up and I never mentioned this to you. My memory is that this guy, Andy, at some point said to me, you know, the domain name libpair.com is available. You guys should you know, make the libertarian Facebook and get everyone off Facebook and do this, you know, have our own thing. And I was like,
which everybody's been trying to do for a long time.
Yeah, wouldn't it be funny?
Jeff Tucker's kind of trying to do with liberty.me.
Wouldn't it be? Yeah, and he got like $100,000 in funding from donations. Wouldn't it be funny if Andy, who did it for nothing, ends up being more popular? But
right.
But yeah, so go to libpair.com. It's so he wrote me, and this is my memory of it, is he said, you know, you guys should get that domain and build it. And I'm like, I'm busy. You do that.
You build libpair. I'm busy talking about libpair.
Yeah. And so when you go to this site, it's really simple, but it's, you know, it's a website, and I'm probably not going to join it. I have zero time to even join. I should just tell him to make a Michael W. Dean account and post what I would post as me.
Make a Dean bot.
Yeah, that's a Dean bot. or just, you know, make it auto post everything out on my RSS feed. Call it Dean, MW Dean bot. But I love the welcome message. It says, welcome to LibPair. You found Libertarian Paradise. Have a look around or feel free or click below to join free. LibPair.com. Yeah. I love
it. You're already there. Just click join. You don't have to actually post.
Just click join to ignore the state.
Just sign here. Sign here, Michael.
If it were only that easy. Okay. You know, getting rid of the state, there's an app for that.
Right. Yeah. And this is the kind of thing that's amazing, and that it's what we always talk about, and we always say, people are always like, you guys should have shirts or this type of merch or that type of merch.
You build that.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. Keep the money. We don't care.
Here's why we don't have shirts, because people ask me about that all the time. And the other day, somebody asked me, like, do you have satin baseball jackets? And I'm like, no. Seriously. And someone else asked for, like, leather motorcycle jackets with it. Yeah, like, we're going to pay $200 for an item that's going to sit in my basement for a year.
Do you have branded oversized orthopedic shoes?
Yeah.
No, we don't.
The thing is, okay, you could get all that stuff like on demand. So, you know, you upload artwork and then you don't have to pay, you know,
have to have inventory.
Right. But all of the on demand printed fabric, anything, are horrible. Like, the stuff washes off after a few weeks. Like, to really make
good, cracks and gets gross looking.
Yeah. Like, you know, to make a good shirt, you have to silkscreen it. And to silkscreen it, you have to buy shirts. You have to have them on hand. You have to make a dozen or more at a time. It's messy. It's toxic making them. I've done it. I was in a punk rock band.
I've done it.
Or you have to pay someone to do that. And then you end up with inventory, with money tied up in inventory. And it's like, I don't want to do that. Our money would be better suited to other things, you know?
Yeah.
Although it's all my money now, honey.
So if you think the Fiends should do something cool, do it and tell us about it, and we'll pimp it. Like libpair.com. And Andy, in his Facebook reply to me when I say LibPair is here, he says, hope you and Michael don't mind us using the word you invented. No, not at all, man. This is a libertarian anti-IP kind of environment over here, man.
Pleasant surprise. Yeah, I did an interview recently with somebody about anti-IP that I'm going to be playing on the Weekend Fiends one of these days when I don't want to wake up, when I don't want to get up early.
Is it one of the usual non-IP suspects, or is this a new voice?
No, it's a new voice. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep. Cool. People should look forward to that. But we don't own, nobody owns the two syllables lib pair when paired together. That's silliness. Although Andy owns the private property that is that website in a .com domain, so kudos to him. But that's something he homesteaded, and he built that. Mindspace, man. That's something he homesteaded I guess digital property kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of members on this thing. It's pretty cool. There's seven... It says there's 7,000 members on this thing. That's pretty amazing.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah, and it's, there's not 7, a whole lot of posting.
Posts. There's 7,000 posts from Newsbot, Bionic member Newsbot.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, I think it's its second day in existence. So,
yeah, but there's like 20 or 30 members in people in LibPair. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends, Nima Vedati's last show before he is catapulted into space into LibPair.
Snails.
Snakes. Turtles.
Worms. The guy that wanted us to say knives.
Knives.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people. Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
Yeah. Yes, sir. It's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vedati here in Central Texas. We've got Michael W. Dean up above Recluse, Wyoming, thousands of feet in the air, in Airworm One. How's it doing, sir?
Excellent. Excellent.
Yes. And even though you say excellent, you are not Mr. Burns. That's a clarification we have to make from the last segment. You said, ha, 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 the money's all mine. Yeah. Actually, our account has been settled. We have settled up according to the split we originally agreed upon. And I consider myself paid in full at this point, and I appreciate Michael's excellent business sense when it comes to taking care of the agreements he's made. So this is nothing to do with me leaving the Freedom Fiends, in case anybody was ever thinking that. Everything is kosher over here from my end. I'm not going to go and do a YouTube video in a week about, Michael didn't pay me.
Referencing somebody we know.
I don't know. I'm just saying I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, good.
Because I've been taken care of to the agreement that we had agreed upon. And I walk away, you know, reinvested.
Because I gave you that 4 billion worm coin.
right. Well, we reinvested a lot of our funds in the back into the Freedom Fiends, which is, I think, what you're supposed to do at the beginning of projects like that. And it's made the Freedom Fiends bigger. It's made our quality better. And, you know, I get to walk away with a lot of cool gear that I can use for anything imaginable. And I do use for other things. So I'm definitely richer for being a part of the Fiends, not only in my soul and in the world, but in my studio.
Yeah, and I'm still going to pay you your share of Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom movie royalties as they trickle in.
Right, because, Well, that's the reason for the Fiends, is that made us more than break even off of our projects, because Guns and Weed was, it was great, but the Fiends definitely helped us to fill in some gaps there.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you don't do radio because you want to make money at it, like literally, the movie made more money than the Fiends have. The movie that took a year to make has made, you know, not rich, but it's like, it's probably made more money than the Fiends, because the Fiends' money has to be continually reinvested in things. And the movie it's done. And then it still makes, you know, $32 a month or something like that in royalties.
Yes. It's a cup of coffee a day or something.
Yeah. There you go. A catheter a day for your kitty cat.
A catheter a day for your kitty cat.
Yeah.
I thought we weren't going to go there.
We're done. It just made me sad. It also, I don't want to talk about cats. I don't want to talk about sick cats. Yeah. So, you know, some people, I guess I'm going to do a preemptive strike here of explaining why I'm not dissolving the Fiends. And you were like, do you even need to do that? And I'm like, somewhere, somebody is thinking, man, it's not the Fiends without Nima. Michael should hang up his golden microphone and move on or start over. Whether or not anyone's thinking about that, let me spill a little of my process here. It's like, it actually crossed my mind, because in music, like, you know, okay, Discord Records has always been, you know, Ian MacKay's label has always been the real, before I understood libertarianism, they were basically my test for, am I doing things ethically? And right. am I doing...
Because they didn't want to destroy the major labels. They just wanted to do something cooler because they right. thought the major labels were boring.
And they're really not a bad... you know, mantle to hold yourself up to compare if you don't have the non-aggression principle yet, because they almost do everything without even using that word or knowing that. And I think mm-hmm. they're probably some brand of socialist capitalist anyway, if that makes sense. I mean, but it's voluntary. Like they offered health insurance for their company, their employee, their like 12 employees before it was ever required by law, and I don't think they're still required by law because I think they're too small of a company. But and they gave flex time to their employees because they were all in bands, and some, you know, the women had a kid, or the woman had a kid, the one woman had a kid, or whatever. You know, right. they gave flex time, like they were the ultimate boss. They were the boss everybody wanted to have, and right. You right. know, like everything they did, like they never charged more than $5 live for a show. I think near the end they raised it to $6 for Fugazi because they were losing money at $5 touring. You know, they always put on their records. Like I remember, like the back in the day, all the Discord records when they were 12-inch records, printed on the records would say, you know, pay more than pay. And this was when records were like $10. Like their records would say on them, printed on the artwork, big, pay no more than $4.99 for this record. And the funny thing was, sometimes like record stores would put a sticker over that with a price that said $8.99 or something.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, there's nothing they could do about it.
But anybody like, who was a fan would know, and they'd call them out on it, I'm sure.
Yeah, or you could just mail order it because most of their sales were mail order. So, they were not quick to embrace file sharing of their stuff because they were like, we need to figure this out and really vet it and talk to our friends about it. But once they did it, they started like digitizing everything they ever did and literally giving it away free, as well as putting mm-hmm. it on. No, here's what they did. They kind of did the Grateful Dead thing. They basically, they had really high quality live recordings of like every show Fugazi done, because one of the guys that traveled with them was a sound engineer and had a DAT machine and would set up good, you know, do board tapes. And they started digitizing and putting up every live show they ever did for free, which is really cool. And so, you know, that was kind of my thing. But one of their things was they had an unspoken rule is if any member of the band leaves, even if it's like the drummer who's just keeping the beat, if any member of the band leaves, you break up the band and write a new set and change the name. Like, you know, one guy, the drummer leaves, you get a new drummer, you don't do any of the old songs, you write, you know, an hour's worth of new music, then you put out a record before you even play a gig because you own a record label, and, you know, then you change the name of it. I mean, Fugazi is almost, I think it's 3/4 of the people from the band Rites of Spring, you know, that used to be together on Discord.
Yeah, I don't like that concept, man, because I feel like when you build a brand, it's the brand that people are
well,
going
with
there
them,
for.
Though,
if
yeah.
people think that something isn't true to itself anymore, then they ditch it anyway.
Yeah.
You're not forcing them to be a fan of the same band. I mean, nobody goes and considers seeing Sublime with Rome the same as seeing Sublime with Brad,
who's dead.
But it's still a different thing, and you know it, and you'll go see it anyway, and it's a good time. But nobody's you know being fooled by that.
Yeah.
So Fiends, with you and your awesome cast, you know, and everybody's that's been working on the Fiends anyway. I mean, most of the people are people who've been longtime fans and contributors anyway. So people will know it. It's a different thing, but that doesn't mean they won't like it.
Yeah, and
we're not lying to them.
And they can gladly have their money back of what they pay to listen to the show if they don't like it, you know. And it's kind of inspired to me. I mean, doing the nighttime show anyway, which I'm going to turn into Calling the Fiends, because it's almost like it's what the Weekend Fiends is going to be anyway. Although the nighttime show is going to kind of be the farm team for the daytime show, because the daytime show has a lot more listeners. The Weekend show, because it's on 25 stations. The nighttime show is on one station. Although I think it'll get on more stations quicker if it has the same branding, because you know I wanted to start over. It's also been a lot of work. The whole thing's been a lot of work, but it's been a lot of work writing to, you know, calling up stations and trying to give them an elevator pitch. You know, the amount of, they say you should have an elevator pitch, like what it would take if you're in an elevator for 4 or 5 floors with somebody. Like,
I like that.
It's hard to do an elevator pitch for 2 shows. Like, Yeah. Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I called you 9 months ago and left a message. You never called me back, but I'm following up. I got the show, The Freedom Fiends. It's on the weekend. It's not going anywhere. But I also have this other nighttime show, Monday through Friday, called Michael Dean After Dark, which is me with a bunch of different and it's like, I would just delete that message, you know. I wouldn't listen to that. So
I imagine what you've been doing is calling and pitching the Fiends first, and then if people seem interested, also pitching MDAD.
I really haven't pitched MDAD very much at all. For one thing, and this is like, people might go, oh, quit whining, but like, seriously, the amount of work I'm doing now that I'm doing two shows, I pretty much constantly have a backache from sitting in front of the computer all the time now, and there's no way to spend less time in front of the computer. And don't send me an Amazon link for the great chair, because I have that chair already. There's nothing I can do other than suffer and work if I want this to spread. So basically, I haven't really been pimping the nighttime. I called up everyone the Fiends are already on and pitched it to them, and one of them took it out of 25 stations. So
The thing with radio stations taking shows, it's not like they go shopping every now and then. I'll take this and that and this and that. They have shows that are on there for a long time. And if something changes, they look for something.
Yeah, people have to understand, you know, like, people will write me and say, hey, why aren't you on in my town? And I'm like, I look at my list and I'm like, I've talked to that guy six times in the past year.
His slot is filled by somebody who's been there for 40 years and is a staple in the community.
It's not like getting yourself listed on iTunes. iTunes has unlimited space to add new shows. A radio station, every radio station in the country is literally already playing talk. Every talk station is literally playing talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So basically, you have to get them to want your show. First of all, I'm calling people who, like, basically they play Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity. And I'm saying, hey, we're kind of like that, but really, really, really different. Check us out. You've never heard of us. And then on the off chance that they like us and are willing to put that on the air, which they should, because this is the wave of the future, man. Nobody wants to hear old guys. They want to hear me. I'm an old guy.
They want to hear slightly younger guys.
Slightly younger old guys. Yeah, like me and Nima. But basically they have to like it. Then they have to find a slot for it. You know, and sometimes there are, like, playing a repeat of something they're not contractually obligated to, and they can fit you right in. But generally, it's like, yeah, man, I like your show. I'd like to put it on. Call me in 6 months. And then I mark it on my calendar and I do it, and I have to get a hold of them all over again. And sometimes they're like, I don't remember that. Who are you? Send it to me again. You know, it's an uphill battle. But basically, here's, other than I built this and I worked my butt off on this for 3 years, you know, like every minute, like, I've worked 80 hours a week to the point where I don't have a day job anymore, and I'm suffering for it because I don't have time to do a day job now. I'm making like $2,000 a year on the Freedom Fiends and trying to make it on that, and, you know, savings and things like that. So, but the thing is, if I give up this show, there is libertarian ANCAP straight up truth to 4 hours a week now on 25 commercial radio stations in America. If I stop doing this, that is stuff is going to instantly get replaced with the old gray-haired Republicans who want to throw most of our listeners.
It's going to get Mark Levine clones and Glenn Beck clones and
So I feel we've staked out
an important position. And that's what I'm saying is I don't think the Fiends should give up that ground.
I just
can't be one of the commissioned officers in the Fiend Army anymore.
Worms. We'll be back with more to talk about Chernobyl crocodile when we get back from this trip to the market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, It's at the Circle Pines Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
I'm Nima Fiend. We've got Michael Fiend Dean, Fiend over on the other end. How's it doing, sir?
Good. You wanted to talk about the Ukraine situation, but I want to talk. You want to talk about the current Ukraine situation, but I think we're going to save that for the second hour because it's going to take a while. You can't do that in one little short 5-minute segment. So let's talk about the old Ukraine situation, which is the Chernobyl disaster. Did you know Chernobyl is in Ukraine?
I guess I didn't. I guess I imagined. I knew it was in the former Soviet Union.
Well, it's actually, it spans part of the Ukraine and Belarus, which, you know, I guess nuclear disasters don't respect political boundaries.
No. No natural phenomenon does. Right?
No natural phenomenon. Well, I guess it's not a natural phenomenon because it's concentrating something in nature in a large, unnatural quantity in one place. But then, you know, basically wind carries it, and wind is a natural function. So, yeah.
Pseudo-natural mixed system. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Anyway.
What year were you born?
84.
Yeah, so you don't remember this in the news. It happened in 1986. The Chernobyl nuclear power plant in the Ukraine, which was part of the USSR then, basically spilled a bunch of nuclear gas and almost melted down. They almost had a China syndrome, which is where it comes from, the name of the movie. There's a movie from the 70s called The China Syndrome, which is about, you know, a nuclear power plant overheating and getting out of control and almost turning into a nuclear bomb, to the point where theoretically what would happen if that happened, other than it would, you know, basically it would, the theory is in a China syndrome is that it overheats to the point where the core melts a hole to the center of the earth and then and then spews out, you know, radioactive lava and steam
mixed with liquid hot magma.
Yeah, and magma. Okay. And then contaminates the earth. Now, there have been a couple times this has happened, or not China syndrome, but, you know, basically there's a rating scale for nuclear disasters. It's like 1 to 7, and
7 is Chernobyl.
There have been two sevens. The one in Japan recently was a 7. Although the Japanese officials tried to lie and say it was a 5, but it was later determined by an international board of inspectors to be a 7. Yeah, the Chernobyl
and
thing
still
was
in
a
progress.
7.
Isn't the Fukushima thing? I mean, they don't have a complete handle on that just yet.
Yeah. And Chernobyl in Russia was really scary because it was during the Cold War. You know, it was 86. It was like the Russians were still they had the most nukes other than America and had been threatening to wipe us off the face of the earth in total war since the 50s. And basically, it was like, wow, they can't even control their nuclear power plant. We're all going to die anyway. So, and then the other thing is, there was another one in America at Three Mile Island, and I lived like an hour away, like in the zone. You know, Three Mile Island was an almost situation; it wasn't a situation, but it was really scary. It was in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, in 1979. It was before Chernobyl, and I was at the Church Farm School in Paoli, Pennsylvania, like 65 miles away from there at the time. So, and I remember, like, you know, we heard about it on the news. Like, when you're back then, when you didn't have the internet, like, kids at a boarding school didn't really have much access to the news. You know, we saw a little, so, like, we didn't watch the news, but we heard mention of it. We looked at a newspaper and, like, are we going to die? And, you know, the teachers are like, oh, no, it's going to be safe. We're fine. Like, basically, that was what they told us. But
that's the party line, yeah.
It could have been horrible. But Chernobyl has basically, you know, made a region of the former Soviet Union uninhabitable by humans to this day, to the point where, like, you can't go there. And, you know, scientists go there or people go there
you know, as tourists even, like there are tours of it, but like mm-hmm. you have to suit up and you have to take a Geiger right. counter and you could only spend an hour or two in there. And then you have to take yeah. a special kind of shower when you get out. And people,
it's like going to a different planet or something.
It is. It's yeah. kind of a weird libpair though, because basically it's become like a nature preserve because animals have moved back in and can live there and are thriving, and there are no humans, and like plants are growing into the buildings now. It's kind of like after the poop hits the fan kind of situation. It's really beautiful. We'll talk yeah, about that. Talk about a documentary I've seen about that, and then go into the Vice documentary about, well, they have one about hunting radioactive wolves in Chernobyl, but we'll use that to segue.
Of course they
well,
do.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah. I mean, come on. How can we dismiss that? Radioactive wolves.
Yeah. We'll be back with more on hour two of the Freedom Fiends, Nemo Vidati's last show. Worms and wolves. Radioactive wolves. Yeah.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah.
Ah. Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. We are propaganda. That means the truth straight to your face across the nation on 25 radio stations. Isn't that right, Mr. Michael Dean?
Yeah.
And only growing from here, although I will be taking a step away to regular fiendhood rather than fiend supremacy, I suppose.
Yeah, which basically means you're going to be a fan instead of a co-host and an occasional blogger. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Correct.
So, speaking of LibPair, Libertarian Paradise, and LibPair.com, during the break, I registered LibPair.bit because, and Andy should contact me to get it free and set it up. I'll transfer it to him because, you know, you really can't have a site that's about LibPair without having a non-governmental alternative domain name in .bit for it.
That's true. That's true. And people go, the internet, that's not government. But ICANN is pretty much the government, man. And yeah. they can take your site down if they
want. I can take your website. That's what that means. And the FCC chairman, Tom Wheeler, who is a friend of Obama, an Obama appointee, and helped get Obama elected. And remember, Obama is no friend to, you know, like basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to put through net neutrality without going through Congress for it this week. And it's a big story. It's the kind of story we don't usually cover here on the Freedom Fiends because we don't care what those statists do. State is going to state. But it's interesting to me how net neutrality is sold as a, this will make you free. And it's really not. It's really the opposite. It's really a government plan to regulate everything on the internet mm-hmm. and censor everything on the internet. I mean, you got to realize, like, these are people, this current crop of Washington bozos. Joe Biden, Vice President, Obama's number two guy, theoretically. Really, he was just the white guy on the tickets to help get the socialist you know, elected, because then scared old white people would go, well, at least he's got us a distinguished looking white gentleman on the ticket. You know, the racist white people who wouldn't vote for a black guy otherwise voted for the black guy who, it didn't matter that he was black. That has nothing to do with it.
He's white, man. He's more white than he is black.
He's more white than you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're as brown as Obama. and your driver's license is white, doesn't it?
Well, technically, Middle Eastern people are all white. If you look at any of the U.S. Census stuff that you get, it has like the descriptions of all the ethnicities. So, which ethnicity am I? And in white, it says hailing from the traditional peoples of Europe and the Middle East. So,
yeah.
Middle Eastern people think they're brown, but according to the government, they're white.
Okay, here's the truth. Joe Biden, number two guy in the U.S. federal government, technically, really, he's just a placeholder. I mean, really, like Nancy Pelosi is far more Obama's right-hand man, you know, and Dianne Feinstein. But Joe Biden tried to outlaw computer, like, basically encryption. Like, encryption, basically, yeah, tried to outlaw it. Put a bill forth in the 90s when most people weren't on the internet, when it was just starting, to outlaw, which basically would have been, at best, would have led to what they have in England now, which is where you can be forced by a threat of 5 years in prison to give up your password on anything. To worst, like, literally Bitcoin wouldn't have happened because it would have been illegal, you know, because it's using encryption. To where literally, like, everything that the NSA is doing that's illegal would be legal. Anyway, and then Dianne Feinstein, Obama's number three man after Nancy Pelosi, basically she is trying to pass a bill right now that will make you have to get a license to have the First Amendment.
You know, the thing is, we can complain about what the politicians are doing all day long because it's all horrible and all these horrible laws they want to make. But they do the horrible things that we worry about the laws causing anyway. The NSA, even though it's illegal, obviously, because of the Fourth Amendment, exists anyway. And and as Snowden said, or was it Assange, they pretty much wear the pants in the administration. Obama can't go there and tell them what's what. They're the ones that have more power. And it's like I think you've said the Constitution is worse than a bulletproof vest that doesn't actually stop bullets. You know, it's worse than something that doesn't give you freedom because it's a false sense of security.
Yeah,
it's a lie. And I feel like that's the same thing with net neutrality, man. Is Mises said government is the negation of liberty. So anytime you think something's going to set you free or set the internet free, look at who's trying to do it. If it's a government, I guarantee you it's not going to set you free. It's going to do worse than that. It's going to make you not even recognize the tyranny and slavery you're living
Here's the thing about net neutrality. I want to get this over with and get on to the radioactive wolves of Chernobyl because it's far more interesting to me. Tom Wheeler, who runs the FCC, and you know, we're not supposed to say this on radio because he can get us kicked off. He controls whether we can be on or not. But Tom Wheeler from the FCC, this Obama appointee, who's basically a lobbyist who got Obama elected and raised a lot of money for him and was rewarded with but his prior positions were like president of the National Cable Television Association, CEO of the Cellular Telecommunications Internet Association. Like, basically, you know, it's like putting people who used to be in charge of Monsanto at the head of the FDA, or the Department of Agriculture, which they do anyway. Yeah. So he's trying to push through net neutrality, which is basically, it sounds good, but it's not. It's the idea that internet providers won't be able to charge more money for one type of traffic than another. And what it's supposed to prevent is, like, say, Warner Brothers from starting something that competes with Netflix, and Warner Cable giving priority to their cable internet service over Netflix, which is like, In a free market, that should be allowed. Like, you shouldn't have to favor your competition going over your company's wires, you know? So the FCC really has no reason to be involved in the internet. They existed, if they ever served a purpose, you know, it was for regulating at the time, 100 years ago or 80 years ago, the limited bandwidth spectrum of radio and then later of TV. And literally, there's an unlimited bandwidth spectrum on cable TV and on the internet, you know, so they don't need to be involved, but they want to be, and they're trying to push for this thing that, okay, here's my problem with net neutrality. Really smart, hip people like computer programmers and Wired Magazine,
like,
and Boing Boing.
Yeah.
Really smart people who are otherwise against censorship in every form and scream about it at the top of their lungs are opening their legs wide and saying, come on in to the FCC for net neutrality. They want it. And the thing is, they believe the lie. How did you say it? It was something like, you know, something about, like, yeah, the politicians will protect us from that. What did you say?
They want the state to be all powerful, but leave them alone when they want to be left alone, which are two completely contradictory things. Like, if you have an all powerful state, you don't get to decide what they leave alone. They do.
Yeah, I would like to take every politician. You know, I don't want to hang them from lampposts like they did in Iran. I just want to give them a nice retirement on their own dime, somewhere they can't hurt anyone, like the Chernobyl exclusion zone. Let's take all the politicians. Now, here's the thing. Like, you would say, oh, you know, there was a nuclear accident there. It's still highly radioactive. It must be a desert. It's not. It's like that part of Russia, of the former Soviet Union, that part of you know, Chechnya, or not Chechnya. What is
Ukraine.
It? Belarus Ukraine. And the Ukraine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know it was so close to Kiev, or as the hip
Kiev,
say,
Kiev. Kiev was really radioactive after this accident. It was in the downwind area of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of this part of that of the world looks a lot like Wyoming, and the Chernobyl exclusion zone looks a lot like Yellowstone and has become an unintentional nature preserve. And it has bison, and it has deer, and it has elk,
yeah.
And it has wolves. It has all the same animals that they have in Yellowstone, except, you know, the hot springs are boiling up radioactive lava. No, they don't have hot springs, but it's pretty bizarre how nature has bounced back, and it's literally like animals can live there, but people can't.
Yeah.
Although people go there now, really, if you want a libpair where people will leave you alone and you don't have to pay rent and you can squat your own land.
If you don't like it, move to Chernobyl.
If you don't like it, move to Chernobyl. Literally, man, this place is ripe for homesteading. And it's giant. It's like, you know, the size of, part of Texas. I don't know. It was compared to some state. It was like, you know, like the size of New York State. Is uninhabitable.
No, I think they said Great Britain in the documentary.
Yeah, which, there you go, which is bigger than New
which
York
is pretty
State.
Much just a part of the United States anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Airstrip 1, where it's called 1984.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm really fascinated with anything Russian because I grew up in the Cold War and believed these people to be boogeymen. And then, like, you know, the Cold War ended and, you know, I went and traveled to Germany and, like, I was hanging out in West Berlin when there was still an East Berlin and, like, hanging out with people from Russia. It blew my mind. I was like, wait, you don't want to nuke me? Oh, wait, you've got some good hash? Cool, man. You know, that was back in my bad old days. But yeah, man, it was like Russian. I love Russian accents. Anybody speaking English with a Russian accent, I just go, wow, that is so weird and cool. It just makes me smile. All the Russian names make me smile. You know, Nikita and Andra, just all of them, man. All of the names make me really happy.
My little brother's shacked up with the Russian, Paulina.
Mm-hmm.
He calls her Pow Pow.
Is he still with her?
Yeah.
He jokingly calls her his Russian mail order bride, but she's a citizen, right? U.S.?
Yeah. She goes to college to study electrical engineering in Houston and talks without an accent and goes out drinking on Friday night. Like, well, I guess a good Russian does that too. But
So I was really fascinated with Crocodile, which is a couple years ago. We kind of broke the story. Like, Vice broke it, but then, like, you know, we turned the guy from Death Clock onto it. He should know that, you know.
Because,
like,
it's the most brutal drug in the world.
It's the most brutal drug in the world. It's a drug that, like, literally people inject
eats
it.
Your skin.
And it eats your skin and turns you into a zombie and makes your flesh fall off. And I was like, that is so brutal in Russian, you know. And Chernobyl, I like the idea of crocodile from Chernobyl. But Chernobyl is like this beautiful radioactive wasteland. And I watched two documentaries on it. One is Vice Magazine, Hunting the Radioactive Wolves of Chernobyl, which sounds really brutal. And the intro for it, they have a drawing of a wolf with two sets of eyes. And there are mutations there, but they're not like that. They're just basically like born sick and then die, some of them. But a lot of animals are thriving despite that. I watched this other documentary, which has a really – it's mislabeled, the name of it. It's called
The Radioactive Wolves
of Chernobyl. Yeah. Scary mutations. And there's nothing – you think it's going to be like wolves with superpowers. No, it's just wolves that are born sick and die. But it's a higher percentage than in the general, you know, outside of a radioactive exclusion zone. But it's not – that much higher, and actually a lot of animals are thriving there. And we'll talk about when we get back about if you want to be left alone by the government, move to Chernobyl. Free state Chernobyl, man. Go for it, Luna.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
All right, Freedom Fiends. I am Nima Badati here in Austin, Texas. We've got Michael W. Dean flying high above. I doubt you're in Recluse anymore.
No.
Probably the wind has drifted you over to Beastlick, I think.
Beastlick,
Laramie.
Yeah. I'm tossing name coins out to the people. I'm selling some name coin. I have a bunch of name coin, but I have more than I could possibly ever use. I'm selling about at least 100 of them, and I want to sell them like 100 at a time, and I would give someone a 5% discount off of market rate. If you want to email me, you have to be someone I know, though, because... Yeah, unless you want to pay me in Bitcoin ahead of time. But if it's, yeah. Anyway, so if you want to register talkback at freedomfiends.com, if you are interested in buying 100 or more Namecoin at a slight discount rate. Now, back to the net neutrality just for a second. The Hill magazine, which is a respected policy DC magazine, recently reported that basically Tom Wheeler of the FCC was caught. You know, he's pushing for net neutrality, but he basically was caught saying to all the telecoms behind the scene, you won't really have to do this. So like, right. What? It must be about censorship if they're like saying, we must pass this through without Congress. And then, by the way, telecoms, you're not really going to have to abide
by it. It's a power grab. It's yeah. Just like Obamacare, but in the internet space.
Yeah.
It's let's let all the big players have exactly what they want, and we can couch it in terms of being there for the little guy and making sure everybody gets a fair deal and all. It's the same kind of statism that we've seen forever. That's
yeah,
basically it. It's taking power and making the public think that it's in their best interest.
Yeah, and my description of what Tom Wheeler was allegedly caught doing is an oversimplification of a long article, but go to The Hill and look at the article called NYT, you know, New York Times, NYT blasts net neutrality proposal. So,
and here's what I don't get too is net neutrality, the regs for net neutrality don't exist yet. I mean, that's what
No.
they're trying to do, right? So what's wrong with the internet right now?
Someone might regulate it. Someone might give me slow internet. Here's the end game. Yeah, it's like something that hasn't happened in the quasi-free market of
and
internet sales
happen,
in 20 years.
Man. What are companies that are internet providers struggling so hard to do right now? And it's cutthroat right now. Everybody's trying their damnedest to make sure you get the fastest, cleanest internet that works the best because mm-hmm. there's competition.
To the point where they're really not even clamping down on BitTorrent use, which they used to a lot.
And yeah, I don't get throttled anymore. I mean, I used to.
Yeah.
I guess it was a different company, but in a bigger town where you have AT&T, Time Warner, Cox, a bunch of different people competing for your business, anything, any little tiny throttling or messing up or slowing down would immediately be called out by the competitor
yeah.
and stopped.
Yep. Yep. And if you want to help the Freedom Fiends, you can be one of our torrent seeders by going to thefreedomfiends.com and clicking on the link at the top that says torrents to help keep us drone proof. Doesn't cost you anything, and it'll make you feel really nice about yourself.
warm and fuzzy on the inside.
You know, sort of like net neutrality, but real. It makes you feel warm and fuzzy. Yeah, sort of like net neutrality, but it won't ruin your world. Here's what I think is the end game of net neutrality laws. I think it would be free, as in you don't pay for it, but taxes go up. Free, ultra-fast internet that only goes to government-approved websites.
Right, right, right.
And only use government-approved protocol. Yeah. You know, like no BitTorrent, no Namecoin, no Bitcoin. You know, they would block all that stuff and spy on you constantly even more than they do now.
Which is why it's so upsetting, like you mentioned before, that people like Wired and Boing Boing seem to be on board for it.
Yeah.
On board for giving people who probably have no idea how the internet really works power to control the internet.
Yeah, well, it's like Obamacare, but worse, because Obamacare, if you're really, really poor, you may eventually end up getting a tiny bit of free health care that everyone else is going to have to pay a lot for.
I doubt it.
You really doubt it?
A little bit that's actually you have to wait years for and you're dead by the time you get to
the doctor. Yeah, so it's like the internet version of Obamacare, but probably worse because, I don't know, it's hard to say. Would you rather be punched in the face or kicked in the groin? That's your choice.
right.
Or actually, in this case, it's going to be – you're going to get both. And you're going to love it. You're going to demand
it. You're going to love it.
Yeah. See, the thing is they couldn't pass CISPA and SOPA and PIPA and all those regulate the internet and take down everybody's site they don't like. And people complained about it and thought they won. So instead of going through Congress – you know, they're just going to go through the FCC through the back door and try to put stuff through and get the same stuff done anyway, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what they do. There's no rule of law, man. This is a giant tyrannical beast that is just your slave master. And so why would you ask the slave master to set you free?
The giant mutated radioactive Chernobyl wolf of the state.
Yeah.
It's not your friend,
man.
That's all
it is. Not
your
friend.
Eat your babies and your whole family.
Stay away. Yeah. Stay away. Don't talk to statists.
We'll be back with Chernobyl Crocodile on Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
All right. This is Nima Vidati from the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. We've got Michael W. Dean on the other end. And we pride ourselves on being propaganda, so we don't really have any kind of power agenda. The words we say aren't to big up some kind of power structure and kiss up and kick down like CNN does, and like really any media that that gets mainstream enough because it has state support on any plan or any part of the world. It's like that. But here, CNN just is sort of beyond the pale on this clip I watched. It kind of blew my mind what this guy said. I'm going to play a little bit of it for you guys. It's kind of self-evident how ridiculous it is, but we'll riff on it too. So here we go.
And bringing this fight to the airwaves. If there's one thing communists really excelled at, beyond murdering millions of their own people, I mean, it's been propaganda. The Soviets turned indoctrination into an art form, one that's still appreciated by some today as just that, an art form. Now, from Crimea to the tenth standoff we're watching in eastern Ukraine, it's clear that Moscow is taking a page from the old masters and bringing...
Okay.
So we're not arguing. What he's saying is all true. I mean, the Soviets were masters at propaganda, but so are CNN.
Exactly.
That's
he's
the
not,
point
he's
here.
Not removing the plank from his own eye as he complains about his fellow man there.
It's the pot calling the kettle very black.
Very black. And even here, he starts with Crimea. That's the biggest piece of propaganda in its own sense. Is he acts like out of nowhere, the blue skies one day, the Russians decided, let's invade Crimea. And I don't even like that word, invade, to talk about what happened in Crimea.
Let me back up a little bit here.
Yeah.
Because there was...
backing up's
okay,
important.
The... beep, 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 beep. I'm backing up. Okay, so... I was talking about the documentary, The Radioactive Wolves of Chernobyl, which is a great documentary. It's kind of like a nature conservation scientist movie, a really well done movie about the efforts to study the burgeoning animal population in this horribly nuclear wasteland where no people live anymore. However, there's another documentary from Vice Magazine called Hunting the Radioactive Wolves of Chernobyl. Now, first of all, it's a millionaire. It's a guy who runs, it's a millionaire hipster from New York who runs this magazine. It's kind of a libertarian magazine, actually. But this is one of their older documentaries, and it was before they really got newsy and they were just kind of shock value. Like, let's go take AK full auto weapons and go into a radioactive zone and hunt wolves. First of all, they don't hit the wolves, or if they do, it's not a kill shot because they run into the woods, and the guy gets ready to run into the woods, and his tour guide says, don't go into those woods. That is the most radioactive place on Earth. So, hipsters, stupid hipsters who can't shoot straight, about to chase their prey into the most radioactive spot in the world and die. And, that's what Vice used to be. I mean, I saw this thing called Slab City. It was another kind of libpair thing. It was about this place in Southern California in the desert where a bunch of like homeless meth heads and people who dropped out of society live for free and squat with campers in this really desolate region. Basically the more hospitable a place is, the more state there's going to be because more people want to move there. Like that's why Wyoming has less state because the weather is really harsh and people don't want to live here. But Vice Magazine has gone way beyond just making shock value videos. And they've become, I think, the most important and truthful news source in the world because they have people doing real news stories and doing bulletproof journalism, going into war zones, and not really editorializing. The only time they really editorialize is like when they get denied access from somewhere, they're kind of like, man, you're an idiot.
Right, that attitude.
Which they should do, and CNN wouldn't do. And the other thing is they kind of tend to go for the underdog. Like, even whether there's this guy that did this thing in Crimea recently, and got kidnapped by some Crimean separatists.
No, he was kidnapped in eastern Ukraine.
Okay. But, and that guy's a dual citizenship, U.S. and Israeli citizen, and he covered the Gaza Strip, the Jewish squatters in the Gaza Strip who were stealing Palestinian land. And he's an Israeli citizen, but he kind of seemed like he was a tiny bit favoring the Palestinians just because they're the underdogs, you know? That's kind of like Vice News. But overall, it's pretty much without a lot of agenda, and it's stuff you'll never see on TV, and it's amazing journalism. And you watched a little bit of this. It's called Russian Roulette, the situation in Crimea, right? Or something like that.
It's like a
28-part series. I watched the whole thing. Now, you had contempt prior to investigation, and you did admit that.
I did. Yeah, I didn't like the title of the first one. It was called, like, The Russian Invasion of Crimea. Because everybody else in the Western news media is acting like there is no context. Like the Americans didn't spend $5 billion to have a coup in Kiev by a bunch of Nazis who then told all the Russians that they're not allowed to speak Russian anymore, and we're going to take over the Russian historical base at Sevastopol. I mean, that's a huge piece of context that everybody's been ignoring. So I kind of feared that from the title, it was going to be, oh, look at these Russian bad guys. Let's go have a confrontation with the world the other nuclear power in the world and end mankind because we're that idiotic.
Yeah.
That's kind of the sense I got.
It had a full and accurate title, no one would click on it. If it was called like...
I know. The story of what upsets me for my whole life.
An interesting juxtaposition of the geopolitical ramifications of the situation in Eastern Crimea, like, you know, something that's like 40 words long that accurately describes it. Nobody click on that. But, you know, Russia invades Kiev, or Russia invades Ukraine. Like, I clicked on it. You know, that's the internet.
But really, once
you get past, you judged a book by its cover, and we shouldn't do that. But you did. You did.
People do it. People do it all the time. The thing is to be honest about it, and I was honest about it. And then I did decide to read the book. Everybody judges books by their cover. They can't help it. It's natural. We have mental shortcuts. We do it. We all do it. The litmus test becomes if you actually recognize that that's what you're doing and either decide, hey, I should investigate this, or you decide, well, I know I'm prejudging it, but I don't care because I don't have time for that. And at first I took the latter, but eventually I did take the former stance and actually did look into it, and it was very amazing stylistically to watch. Sort of, it's like you're there, and it's not like a CNN report where it's somebody who found out all the information and then is the dictator of telling you what's going on. And there's that trust that you have to have, and that what the reporter's saying is actually what's happening, and the context they're giving you is actually the context. But with the Vice thing, it's just him and a camera, and you're seeing the things. He's sort of a tour guide on what the visuals and the audio are showing and telling you. He's just there to facilitate, was kind of the sense I got, and he's sort of the leader of the tour, and I really liked that kind of journalism, and I really appreciated the bits I did see.
You know, if you watch the great cable show The Newsroom, which is I really like a lot, you know, the main guy in there, Will, the anchor on, basically it's CNN, it's called something else, it's ANN, Atlanta News Network or something, but that guy is you know, the spiritual great-grandson of Edward R. Murrow. Like, he has a picture of Murrow on his wall. He believes in bringing real journalism back to, you know, the wasteland of propaganda that is the news. And that's kind of the whole underlying driving force of that character's motivation in that show. And it's really admirable, and there's nothing like that on news, which is kind of what makes the fantasy interesting. But...
Right.
Basically, it's Vice. That guy is describing Vice News, you know, this thing on the internet that's on YouTube only. I mean, that's what he's describing, and that's where the real news is. Because you couldn't do, his dispatches, it was like one, you know, every other day for 28 days or something, for like 2 months. They wouldn't put that on TV. They wouldn't follow the Crimean story because there's a limited amount of time in a news thing, whereas the internet is the place to get news. Partially because it's not censored, it's not as beholden to advertisers, and partially because, you know, you don't have that like narrow bandwidth of availability. You don't have, even on cable TV, like there's way more channels than there were when I was a kid. There were three channels on TV. There was ABC, NBC, and CBS.
Well, it's also narrow bandwidth of format. I mean, mm-hmm. all TV news looks completely the same, and that's what it is. And if you want to change something or do different formats, you can't do it. You have to have them, they have to have consultants come in, and every tiny little change has to be approved by the corporate masters. But on the internet, the possibilities are infinite. And I think Vice is really struck on something that's kind of a great new format.
It's not a completely new format. I mean, it reminds me of like a little bit of the footage I saw of the Vietnam War when I was a kid on TV. Like, I'm standing here in Saigon where they recently taken over the U.S. Embassy. You know, like where the guy's on the scene in the war zone with the bulletproof vest. But it's changed for a lot of reasons. One is because digital photography, you can shoot as much as you want. You don't have to pay by foot. You don't have to have a giant, bulky 16-millimeter camera and a separate sound recorder. You know, basically, everybody has the tools to do this on their cell phone, pretty much. You can shoot high-def video on your cell phone. They're using little video cameras for this, but basically the same kind of, like, you know, probably $1,000, $500 cameras we used for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. But also, not having the constraints of there's an ad coming up like you do on TV. Mm-hmm. Like on TV, mm-hmm. you know, you go into a war zone and you shoot 3 weeks of footage now on video, and you don't have to pay by the foot and worry about should I shoot that or not. You just leave the camera running whenever you're there.
But you have to distill it.
You
to
have to distill it to 2 minutes.
Seconds.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, and that's another one of the format constraints I was sort of talking about. But you can fall down a wormhole and learn about one subject for hours and hours or days and days on the internet, and I think that's a really cool thing. I guess it upsets me so much still that the world hasn't gotten its stuff together yet. I mean, am I really living in a world where it's going to be Clinton versus Bush in 2 years and the Americans are confronting the Russians and there could be a nuclear war? Am I there again? What?
It's like, wasn't it Clinton versus Bush back when you were 15? And you know, when I was a kid, wasn't it the Russians versus the Afghanis? I mean –
I thought that we were over all this, and you brought up a good point. Is sometimes when I'm talking about this, it sounds like I'm making the Russians out to be good guys, and I'm really not.
Yeah,
I'm really not.
But here's the other thing: they're trying Putin is trying to restore the USSR, which is like my fear from when I was a kid. Like, you know, he's trying to make a new Soviet Union, basically.
Yeah, I don't, you know, in a sense, yeah, I think he wants to increase power, but all politicians do. I don't think that's surprising or that he's some kind of extra special Hitler or anything like that. But here's the thing, the U.S. state has been pushing up and trying to do that in his old USSR. I mean, Lithuania, Poland, all these people are NATO members now. That's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
The EU is the new Soviet Union.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Oh,
I was going to go straight into a goodbye, but how do I sound like a neocon? I don't want that to be the last thing.
Oh, somebody tried to post. Somebody posted. It's not. I haven't approved it yet. I don't know if I will. Someone says, hey, Michael, can you at least read some antiwar.com or lewrockwell.com before commenting on a complex issue like Ukraine? You sound just like a neocon talking about this. Send regards to Victoria Nuland. And then he wrote, sorry if my tone was harsh. And used an anonymous name. So some anonymous coward. Basically, we didn't have time to get into the whole thing.
So they weren't saying that I sounded like a neocon.
I think they were saying I did, because I said that Putin wants another Soviet Union. It's an incredibly – we didn't get time to do this because we want to have Nima have his tearful goodbye, which is far more important to me than placating some anonymous coward who won't even post with his real name. I think everybody involved is terrible. I think there's like eight sides in this. It's not just Ukraine and Russia. It's pro-Ukrainian Russians, pro-separatist Russians, pro on both sides, people that want to join up, people that don't, people that want to have their town be a sovereign nation, people that are in the military and run away, people that are in the Ukrainian military and join the Russians, people that...
Former Soviet republics that are now NATO members.
Yeah.
Germany, other EU members... other people
here,
also, in Russia,
also, I'm
United
not
States.
It, to really nail it as not sounding like neocon, I'm in favor of secession down to the last man.
There you go.
I don't fight for Ukraine's right to be their own nation. I think everyone in Ukraine should be their own nation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in the Vice documentary, right? It's the Republic of Donetsk, and they have their own ideologue. He's like introducing this guy as he's our military commander and ideologue.
Yeah,
and it's I'm my own ideologue. I want to start the independent Republic of Nima Vidati.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's me, man.
So I'm not even going to approve this guy because he was just a dweeb to anonymously just call us neocons and run away.
No, prove it. Well, it's your thing. I don't get to make the call anymore. That's up to you, man. That's up to you.
I'll approve it.
So yeah, in case you're just tuning in.
Put it this way. I'll approve it and I'll just say, what a dweeb, man. And sorry if your tone was harsh. Yeah, man, you're a dweeb and you're an anonymous coward. And I'm going to approve this comment so everyone can laugh at you. All right,
it's not my call, it's your call, Mike. You do what you want.
Yeah.
I am taking a step back, taking a step down, leaving the
Scott Horton as
a capital F fiend.
Scott Horton emailed me and said, wait, I tuned in late, why is Nima leaving? And like, you know, Scott Horton's probably
I thought
like,
you said, why is he quitting? Because that Scott Horton bluntness quitting. We love so
quitting.
Much quitting.
Yeah. And yeah. Nima's like the only guy that regularly talks about Scott Horton on the radio, so that's it's a big blow to Scott Horton. Yeah.
No, I'm still gonna big up Scott Horton. I'm still gonna big up Freedom Fiends, the Liberty Movement. I'm not retiring from Liberty. I don't think anybody can do that. I think once you believe in how awful the state is and how it's the main villain in the world, that the main dragon that needs to become so small that it drowns itself in a bathtub because it's so sad that nobody likes it. I'll always be like that, man. I've got a brand new kid, and I've got to spend all my time either making money to feed the kid or helping to feed the kid. And that's how I help Liberty, is I'm going to make a family of awesome people in the world who don't even speak the language of statism and look at it as some kind of silly anachronism. People that aren't going to be fooled by the ridiculous clowns on CNN and Fox News and in the White House and in the Congress who just roll their eyes naturally.
So to answer Scott Horton's question, why is he quitting? I'll put it in terms Scott Horton will understand. There's no money in telling the truth. That's why he's quitting. He needs to make some money and feed his babies and his wife.
Principle and profitability can sometimes be at odds in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for certain people, and I could be at a different position at a different time and maybe profit off of spitting the truth. But right now, it's not there, and I got to do what's best for my family, and that's what I'm going to be doing. And hopefully, I can still stay in touch with everybody out there. Facebook message me, email me, hit me up on Twitter. Nima's still here. Nima's still here. He's just not capital F fiend. It's been so great being that, And I love you, Michael. I love the fans. I love everybody who's helped out, you know, for the paternity leave. And for now, I've been taking weekends off because I've had a lot on my plate. I appreciate all you guys. And I know The Fiends is going to be – it is amazing and it's going to continue to be amazing. Thank you.
Goodbye. Worms. Love you too, man.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about The Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.